The lowest point of life is often a lifting point for the Lord. In other words, your lowest point in life is a lifting zone for the Lord. There's many people in Scripture that have had rock bottom moments. One of them that I thought of was the mighty strong man of Scripture, Samson. Right? Samson is this man who is known for his might. He's the man that surely if they were, you know, to put him on the big screen, the individual that would represent him would probably have some type of background in UFC or boxing or jiu-jitsu and maybe a decade of steroid use, right? He's known as the strong man. Well, he had many years on top where he was the judge of God's people and he defended and protected them from the Philistines. He had a rock bottom moment where his whole life crumbled before him. He was living high. He was fighting off the Philistines. He was protecting his people. Everything was great. But this rock bottom moment came as he fell in love with a woman by the name of Delilah. She captured his heart or his hormones. And through a course of events, he opened up to her. He rejected the Lord, didn't walk in obedience. He disregarded the vow that he was to live up to for his whole life, that he was a Nazarite, that he was not to cut his hair, that he was not to eat or drink of the vine, and that he was not to touch any dead thing. But Samson found himself with his first haircut while in the laps of a woman, in his rock bottom moment, the Bible says, in the Spirit of the Lord left him. And it was so rock bottom for him, he didn't even notice that God had left him. And as the Philistines came and he was gonna go out and defend himself and defend the people once again, he was as weak as a pre-tween boy who can't even do a push-up. And the Philistines overtook him. They gouged out his eyes. They set him to milling grain. It was a rock bottom moment. He found himself as a spectacle for the Philistines, brought in chains, blind. Everything was horrible in his life, but he cried out to the Lord. And you've got this great little section of scripture that says, and his hair began to grow again. And then you see in this great act of bravery, but also God's grace, that Samson in his death took down more of the enemy than in his life. But he had that rock bottom moment. Now I think of a brother in here in the church who I've been blessed by and I've even been able to serve with him, and he's been a blessing to many of you, that has a testimony of a rock bottom moment in his life when he was being charged with murder because a group of people that he worked with were trying to frame him. He lost several years of his life to incarceration because he was trying to be framed. He was being framed for a murder he did not commit. But he'll even tell you in that rock bottom moment of his life is when he returned back to God's word and began to read and began to worship the Lord and began to trust in him. And at that rock bottom moment, it became a lifting point for the Lord in his life. And he has never been the same. Now, I don't know if you have had a rock bottom moment or you were at a rock bottom moment, but it can be different for all of us. You know, think about it. Your moment where you hit rock bottom may be different than mine or different than the person next to you. You know, rock bottom moment for some of you, it may be that moment when you came home and the house was empty. She really left. The rock bottom moment was when you went out just to get the mail and you're waving at the neighbors and everything seemed great. And it was, you know, a nice, you know, high desert afternoon. And you even got to go out barefoot and the sun didn't melt your feet off. It was just so good. But the bottom of life fell out when you opened up the mailbox and there was some mail that literally changed your life. A rock bottom moment for some, it may be the overdose and that race to the hospital, and all you remember is kind of coming to, and you had a tube down your throat and you were struggling to breathe because just a few minutes ago you had a machine breathing for you, and it was this rock bottom moment. It's best pictured with a carpet of hypodermic needles, or a rock bottom moment. It's an empty bottle, and as you stared down at it, you realized that your whole life had fallen apart, that your whole life was gone. A rock bottom moment is when the world collapses, when you lose all hope, when you realize that you can go no further, nor do you have the ability to get up. Jonah is at a rock bottom moment like that in his life. Jonah has run from God. Jonah has resisted God. And God has lovingly and graciously taken Jonah to rock bottom. We find it in the end of chapter 1 in verse 17 where it says God, you know, appointed this great fish to swallow Jonah. Now, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this fish. We can have all kinds of questions, but really Jonah is not about a whale. Jonah's not about a big fish. Jonah is about God's love for a person and a people. This fish got appointed to swallow Jonah, to take him down in one gulp. And there Jonah spent, as the text says, 3 days and three nights, completely hopeless, completely helpless, completely darked out, completely on the verge or the edge of hell itself, as he'll describe. He's so far down in rock bottom that chapter 2 is a psalm or a poem. It's a Hebrew poem that Jonah concocts or Jonah formulates while in the fish's belly. It says that there in verse 1 of chapter 2, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and I said, and then 2 through verse 9 is this Hebrew poem or Hebrew psalm. The understanding of it being a psalm or a poem is it has a lot of the characteristics of Hebrew poetic writing. You'll notice that it kind of has this pattern where he'll work through a series of things and then kind of midway point or verse 6, he then kind of revisits those points. You know, a good example of it is in verse 1 where he prays to the Lord, right? He says, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction and he answers me. And then in the last verse, it's as if he gives that answer to the first verse in verse 9. He says, salvation is of the Lord. And so it has these poetic psalm or song type references or structure. And it's very descriptive. It's very metaphorical to help us understand what rock bottom looks like. You know, it's kind of hard at times to be able to fully describe rock bottom until you experience it. And so Jonah gives it to us in this metaphorical way that will connect with us, that we can understand, hey, I've experienced this. Or you may be, by the way, you're living on the verge of experiencing this, and God tonight can lift you up. And so what does rock bottom look like for Jonah? What does rock bottom look like when I run from God and I resist God and God graciously takes me to the bottom that I can touch the bottom and then brings me up? You see in verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 17, you see the first little start of rock bottom. A great fish swallowed Jonah. You know, this fish swallowed Jonah. That word swallowed, it means to gulp. It's how a teenage boy after football practice eats a piece of pizza, right? They gulp it down. If you're a parent in here and you have a teenage son, you see him after sports, they come home, you get a $5 hot and ready because things have been crazy. And the next thing you know, that dude is polished to half a hot and ready. And you're like, we haven't even walked up the driveway into the house yet, right? They gulp it down. If you're a fisherman, you're an angler, you know it as when the lure is sent out and the largemouth bass just gulps, hits the lure and takes it in. This start to rock bottom is this fish devours Jonah. It's used other places in scripture when it speaks of invading nations coming in and they devour the Israelites for their sin. So this is not like, you know, a fish kind of holds Jonah in the mouth or something, you know, small and kind of easy happens. No, he's in the water and then all of a sudden, he gone. He's in the belly of a fish. He is devoured. He then says in chapter 2, verse 1, he describes it as affliction. This great trouble overcomes him. We kind of left him off in this picture of the storm is crashing and raging, and he tells the sailors, hey, you have to throw me overboard if you're going to make it. It's almost as if he's on a suicide mission. He goes, I know what this is. I've rebelled. Throw me over. I'll just die. No big deal. He goes over, and then all of a sudden, boom, And he describes it as a great affliction. He describes it as great trouble, as an overwhelming, life-altering moment in his life that he could not prepare for. The fish was sent not for Jonah's destruction, but for Jonah's deliverance. But you can see it wasn't even on Jonah's radar. Then you see rock bottom. Look, as he begins to develop in the poetic form in verse 1. He says that he's in the belly of Sheol. It says in verse 2, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. In verse 2 there, you can put your finger by that phrase, the belly of Sheol. Certainly he's, you know, making reference to the fact that he is in the gut of this fish or this sea monster or whatever it was that God sent to swallow him whole, to devour his life physically in this moment. But he says from that place, he uses one Hebrew word to describe it, and he says it is Sheol. It's this Hebrew word to mean or represent the land of the dead or the grave. One of the other ways which you'll see it translated is Hades. In other words, he is going to such a rock bottom, he says, this is like the belly of hell. I'm in such a low, dark, diminished, desperate, despairing place that the best way to describe it is Sheol or hell. It's the grave. It's the land of the dead. It's the netherworld. It's this dark, gloomy, dismal, hopeless place that Jonah says, that's where I'm at in this moment. Do you see the depths of rock bottom? You see, in what he has gone through and how he thought he could run and how he thought he could resist, he now finds himself, I am literally at the very gate of hell. And I can feel the warmth of the flames come out. I can smell the breath of the enemy. I'm in the belly of Sheol. He then goes on in verse 3 and in verse 5 to further the kind of theme that we saw in chapter 1, that he's going down. Remember, he's going to rock bottom. And so he says in verse 3, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves pass over me. Then go back down to verse 5 and see how he seems to kind of repeat it. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. He's going down. You know, remember he went, you know, down to Joppa. He boarded that ship and he went down to the belly of the ship. And now he went down to the belly of a great fish. And now he's saying he's going down to the very deep depths of this darkness, or the very deep depths of this sea, or what he likens to hell or death. But he isn't even at like the halfway point of the dive yet. He goes, I'm going down to the deep, to the depths, to the bottom. This is rock bottom because the whole understanding of the depths or the deep, there's no coming back from this usually. In Exodus chapter 15, after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, remember, as they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, there is the Egyptian army that's coming after them. And what happened to the Egyptian army in the Red Sea? They perished in the sea, didn't they? In Exodus chapter 15, they talk about, they sing this song, and they talk about how they were lost in the depths, that they died in the depths or in the deep of the water. And here Jonah's saying, I'm in that deep water. Even Jeremiah in Lamentations, he will say this, he'll say in Lamentations 3:53, they threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. The water rose over my head and I cried out, this is the end. When the poetic words speak of the deep and the depths and the water flooding over the head and the soul, each rise of the water, hope evacuates the heart. But then he goes further. What does rock bottom look like? What does it look like in my life, that moment where you feel, I can't get out of this? I'm drowning in my situation. I'm going deeper and deeper. I'm like a lead ball falling in the ocean, and I'm going to stop at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. I will be miles down and explode at the bottom. Jonah says in verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. In other words, I went down and saw the very roots of the tall mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. He goes down, the waters overwhelm him. He's in the belly of hell, and he goes, I go down farther and farther. He likens the weeds or the kelp or the seaweed. It's as if in rock bottom, the very place that he's at, he is shackled or chained. And then he goes, I go to the very bottom to see even the roots of the mountains. And there I hear the bars of the earth, and they clank and they slam shut on me. And it reverberates and resounds in my soul. You're done. He goes so far down as he ran and resisted the Lord. You see, God will take a person to the bottom. He will drive them to the deep, to the gate of hell, as it were. He'll even allow you to even hear the gates slam shut. But the pit does not secure or scare God from coming down to the deepest of parts to deliver you. He uses all of these imagery and poetic terms to talk about what may be your life right now, or what was your life before you came to the Lord. You knew what it was like. You understand the thought of drowning. You were drowning in your situation. You understand the place of being so lost and so confused and understanding no way of getting out. It's maybe the very reason why you came to church for the first time. But there's something else about rock bottom that is beyond just your situation or your circumstances. There's more to this rock bottom than just he's in the belly of a great fish going to the bottom of the sea or to hell itself. Verse 4 says there's a spiritual aspect to rock bottom. He says in verse 4, I have been cast out of your sight. He goes so deep that he realizes that the light of the Lord is dim and fading and gone. He's at that moment where he realizes, man, it's been a while since I talked with you. It's been a while since I met with you. It's been a while since I fellowshipped with you. He comes to a moment of going, God, where are you? And he's not as close as he once was. It's like a timid child that, you know, is having a hard time being out in public with a bunch of strangers, but if dad is really close, they're okay. You know, as long as they can hold your hand, they're fine, and they come and they you know, hide themselves in your arm or in your leg as they hold on. But if you have that moment where they look and they see that you're not around, life crumbles down. Rock bottom for Jonah is I look around and I realize I'm far from your sight. Where are you? What have I done to not be in your presence anymore? Such a rock bottom like that can be so scary. It can look in different ways as we started and in different ways in different people, but it's complete despair you see from the text. You see that it's helpless drowning. You know, for some, the rock bottom, drowning in debt, drowning in consequences. To go to the depths, there's such a great pressure that is inescapable in the depths that you have fallen to, you see here. Rock bottom is different, but there are truths and principles that we can learn from Jonah's rock bottom to help us in our moments when we're at rock bottom. So I'd like to do in our remaining time is give you four principles or four things that are present at rock bottom. Four truths, four things to remember, four things to remind another person, four things that you can use maybe tomorrow when you go to work and you find out your coworker's at rock bottom because the family fell apart. You know, a rock bottom when you realize that there's a station or an office or a toolbox that is missing somebody because, you know, they were fired, they failed the drug test, or they got arrested this weekend, and rock bottom will come in and you get to know as God's messenger, what can I do for that person? You see, first with rock bottom, at rock bottom, you lose yourself. At rock bottom, you will lose yourself. It's important that we understand that really the principle of the Christian walk is that we lose our life that we might gain life, that we lay down this life and take on the life of Christ, that it's no longer you who live or I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's a refreshing aspect to realize as a Christian, like, wait a minute, this isn't my life anymore. This is Jesus's. And it's his life, so guess what? He takes care of me, he leads me, he guides me. When I don't do something or I do something, I do it for him. Jonah had to come to this realization of going, wait a minute, it's not my life. He thought it was. And he thought when it was his life that he'd be this little marathon runner and that he'd be this little mariner and sailor Jonah and discover all of his dreams and sail the ocean blue. And he gets a reminder at rock bottom, no. It's not your life. Jonah, you're my servant. At rock bottom, you lose your life. The commentator Alec Motier says this, "The Lord does not usually protect us from the consequences of our own choices and actions. In his faithfulness and graciousness towards us, God comes with us into the consequences of our choices in order to save us there." Jonah is living out the consequences of running and resisting. Jonah is in the belly of a fish simply because of his disobedience. It is consequence of his sin, but it is here that he realizes that it is no longer he who lives, but he is God's servant. He describes this loss of self. He says a couple of times in the scripture that his soul faints or that his soul, he's being overcome with the waters, even up to his soul, both physically and spiritually. His life is being snuffed out or lost. At rock bottom, you lose yourself because you understand a few things. You understand first that you're helpless. Jonah has a sense of the finality of where he's at. He knows that he is helpless. Do you see in the verse it says, "The deep closes around me"? He says in verse 3, "For you cast me down into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounds me. All your billows and your waves pass over me." Then he cries out, but it says even in verse 5, "The waters surround me, even to my soul, and the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head." There is this understanding of helplessness. He's in his final place in his eyes and his estimation. He's completely hopeless, or completely helpless, rather. This is a place that you don't come back from on your own. Rock bottom, there is no family member, no friend, no organization, institution, or inner effort that will bring you back from true rock bottom. You find in this song or this poem that you can't hold your breath long enough. You can't swim fast enough. You can't tread water long enough. At rock bottom, you're helpless. You lose yourself. Something else you see in losing yourself, there's an understanding of your sin. You come to a moment in life where you realize that you're at rock bottom as a result of sin, your own maybe resistance of God, your own running from the Lord, your own lack of repentance from the Lord. And in Jonah, there is this real interesting thing that kind of comes through this where Jonah has to come to a moment of realizing, whoa, I've really resisted God. I've really gone wrong, because everything listens to God in the book of Jonah except for Jonah. I mean, think about it. Creation listens to God when the prophet of God and the servant of God won't give him the time of day. I mean, we saw it last week, right? Let's just take it with the sailors, right? A bunch of wild sailors with all of their gods and their, you know, cursing and their sailor life and all that. They listened to God. They threw Jonah overboard. They're praying like, God, don't hold this against us. They're making sacrifices. They're worship. They're getting saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. I mean, they're getting right with the Lord, because they're doing what? They're listening to God. The sea and the wind listen to God. Remember it said God hurled the storm on the sea? The wind listened to God when God said, blow. It picked up with intensity. When God said to the waves, you crash in a chaotic symphony, they crashed on that boat. But then you see in chapter 1, verse 17, when he told a fish to swallow Jonah, even a fish listened to God. While Jonah's going, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen. You'll find later on that a worm listens to God, that a vine listens to God, that this horrible, rebellious, wicked people, the Ninevites that God, that Jonah doesn't want to go to and doesn't want to listen to God and go and share his message, that they even listen to God. But the prophet of God and the servant of God doesn't listen. He comes to this understanding of his sin. Everything listens but Jonah, and he comes to understand the result of his sinfulness in verse 4. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. I have been cast out of your sight. This psalm or this song in chapter 2 resembles a lot of different psalms in the book of Psalms. There's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of verses. And I even think of Psalms 51. After David is aware of his sin, so he hits rock bottom, King David does. He has murdered. He's done all kinds of things, and he gets confronted with his sin. He is at rock bottom in his life. And then he pins this wonderful psalm in Psalms 51. And in verse 11, he says, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. As David the king understands rock bottom from his sin, he goes, don't take your presence. What's Jonah saying? I miss your presence. I've been cast out of your sight. He understands his sinfulness. At rock bottom, you lose yourself. Secondly, at rock bottom, God's the only one present. At rock bottom, God's the only one present. This evening, I'm here to tell you that God lives at rock bottom. I'm here to tell you that there is not a depth that you can go to that God is not able to save you from. There is not a pit so deep that God cannot come down and meet you, and then he himself in his love and his grace carry you out of. At rock bottom, God is the only one present. At rock bottom, where you lose yourself and God is present, it is a great truth to speak and minister to your own soul, that it even was a truth that ministered to the Apostle Paul, and even Paul in all of his work and his traveling, he had to come to a realization that at rock bottom moments, despairing of life, as Jonah sees the gates slamming shut and he is in his mind as good as dead, Paul even had moments like that where he realized, but God was present. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, listen to what Paul says. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the troubles we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. Do you hear it? It's death. It's the bottom. In fact, verse 9, he says, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. At rock bottom, you realize God's the only one present. Jonah shows us, he realizes that God's the only one present, and it's interesting how he shows it. He shows that at rock bottom, God is still in control. If you look at verse 3, look at what he understands. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. Now, we know from chapter 1, the sailors threw him overboard. They didn't want to. They struggled with it. And Jonah's like, you got to get me overboard if you're going to live. And, you know, they threw up a prayer and then they threw him over. But look at rock bottom. What does Jonah say? He says, you cast me into the deep. He understands God's in control of the man overboard. He's in control of every wave and every wind howl. He was in control of every crack heard on the boat. He's in control even in the fish that he is currently in. He says, you cast me into the deep in verse 3, but look at where he continues to go on. And the flood surrounded me, all your billows and your waves pass over me. We were reminded of it last week. The same God that calms the storm is the same God that can send the storm. At rock bottom, you realize God's the only one there and he's in control. God is present. Jonah goes to a place where there is no one else to call out to, no one else to look to but the Lord himself. No one else. Do you see what he does? This little section in chapter 2 reminds us several times that Jonah cried out to the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Verse 2, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. He goes down and then you look at verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. At rock bottom, God is present. At rock bottom, he understands the Lord is there. At rock bottom, God's the only one he has reception with. I imagine at this moment of rock bottom for Jonah, even if your cell phone is waterproof, it ain't surviving that. You know, I look at it this way. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 139, verse 8, it says, if I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, or if I make my bed in Sheol, I'll put it this way, if I make my bed in the belly of Sheol, behold, you are there. I've gone with people to a lot of different places, and I've had people go with me to a lot of different places. Some rough places, some fun places. I've gone with people, had people come with me to the DMV. I mean, the belly of Sheol, possibly, right? The courthouse. You know, an important meeting or a funeral home, a hospital, all kinds of places. It's like, hey, we'll go together. I think of it, you know, doctor visits. You know, I don't want to go alone. Will you come with me? But the belly of the fish, you better have Jesus. I can't go there. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to do it. But look at what you see here. From the belly of the fish, I cried out and you answered me. It's at rock bottom that you see only God is present. It's at rock bottom you see that God is only present. And you've got to know in your own life and the things that you're struggling with and the places you wished you could be or the watch and eye you wished you could keep on people to understand, hey, God's the only one that can go to certain places and God's the one that will always be there. There will be a day when you breathe your last in this life and you will leave everyone still alive here. And God's the only one that will meet you on the other side. He's the only one in that last breath who will be there in that reality. And as that last breath goes out, he will be the first to greet you in eternity. At rock bottom, he's the only one present. Parent, you can't always go with your child, but you understand in a rock bottom moment like this, that the Lord is always with your son or your daughter. Wife, husband, you can't always watch your spouse and keep your eye on them and always make sure they're where they're supposed to be and they're talking to who they're supposed to be talking to and that they're not doing something that they shouldn't be doing. You can't do that, but God can. And look at the extent in which he will take him. He'll take him to the belly of a fish. At rock bottom, you realize God's the only one there. Maybe this evening you've been crying out at rock bottom for a friend. You've been crying out for rock bottom for strength within, for that inner champion to arise. And tonight you see the only one that is there and ready, if you would cry out, is God. So Thirdly, rock bottom, your voice is still heard. At rock bottom, your voice is still heard. It's great to know that at rock bottom, you'll still have reception with the Lord. I hate it when I don't have reception. At my house, I've got horrible cell phone reception, and it's not uncommon for me to, you know, miss a phone call or miss text messages or send some and realize that they don't go through. Even the other day, Jackie was gone and she was texting me and I didn't get them because she didn't have reception. It's just, it's such a bummer. There's a miss there, but you see, even at rock bottom, your prayers are still heard. It still goes through. You even find really from this that God is like waiting with his ear, like, are you gonna cry out? Are you ready? Because I am. You say the word and then I'm there. I'm waiting on you, sweetheart. Come on. At rock bottom, your voice is still heard. Jonah prays, Jonah cries out, and God answers. He's at such despair and such a bottom moment of life, but yet God goes, I hear everything you say. Kind of this challenge for us, because so often we look at prayer as like this maybe last thing, or okay, we try everything else, and if it doesn't work, then we pray. I mean, we're guilty of that, especially as Americans, the day and age which we live in. You know, we try everything, and then it's like, okay, this isn't working. God, help me. You take all the medicine, go to all the doctors, like, oh, I should probably pray about this now. But really, we see at this point where, hey, no, God hears you where you're at. God's ready to listen. Look at how it looks in Jonah. Verse 2, remember, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, the God of his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Then go to verse 9 and look at this. You know, this praying, this talking to God, and he comes and says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. His answer, salvation is of the Lord. He's like, okay, God, I'm going to get right. I'm going to fulfill my vow. I'm your servant. I'm your prophet. I'm going to Nineveh. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to give thanks. There's going to be a heart of worship that's present. But salvation is of the Lord. And then look at verse 10. You see how God heard his voice and saved him. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. We'll just leave it there. Some of you are like, ooh, stop. Just reading it kind of turns my stomach right now. I had a bad experience. But look at this. God hears him and God saves him. And you got to look at the fact that sometimes God's deliverances and salvation is not the prettiest. Jonah was literally fish vomit. There's nothing about it. Even the way that it's written and the play on the words, it is, he was vomit. It's kind of even this idea that we'll see later on in Jonah that even though these things look good for Jonah right now, he's still struggling. He talks about, I'll give thanksgiving, but he's kind of losing his marbles later on when he's whining and complaining and getting angry at God. And so it's like God's creation, the fish that had him in his belly said, you know what, this guy, he's nauseating me by what's going on. I'm done with him, God. Are you ready? Ready. Blah, he's up. You can't use an Instagram filter to make this look pretty or make this look good. There's no good angle. There's no, I'm going to crop that out. Throw ups, throw up. And that's Jonah. But God heard him, and it's God's salvation. You see in verse 4, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Do you hear that prayer? Do you hear what he's crying? I've been cast out, but I'm gonna look to your holy temple. And then look at how things change in verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Lost himself and he remembered the Lord and he realizes that moment, my prayers, I look towards your temple, I want to be in your presence again. And he goes, wait a minute, my very prayers go into your holy temple. It's as if the angelic hosts that are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's Jonah's voice coming in and saying, okay, I blew it. I'm ready. It's a reminder for you that in all the praises of heaven exalting the Lord, your voice breaks through. God, it's me. I'm at rock bottom and I've lost it all. And I've wronged you so badly and I've taken advantage of you so much. You find in those cries, he hears it. And you see, fourthly, at rock bottom, you can experience God's grace. The transitional verse of this chapter is in verse 6, and I absolutely love it because it's amazing. Matter of fact, nudge the person next to you and say, hey, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Look at the change here. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. Do you see he's going down to the moorings of the mountains? The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. It's like death sentence, life sentence. The bars are shutting. I've gone so far down, I can't go down any further. It's just time to lock me up and throw away the key. And then look at verse 6. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, you have brought me up out of the pit. There is fantastic news that comes to each and every one of us at rock bottom. At rock bottom, God's grace is still available. At rock bottom, you can experience the grace of God. At rock bottom, as you hit, you can see that rock bottom can be cushioned with the grace of God. At rock bottom, where God is present, there is a grace that you do not deserve that will lift you up. As Psalms 103 says, that you have delivered my soul, you have delivered me from the pit. You have brought me up out of rock bottom. It's even something that is here in Jonah, but it's even for the children of Israel in this time. One of the contemporaries to Jonah is this man by the name of Hosea. Hosea and Amos are two prophets that are speaking God's word in a time of Israel when they are not walking with the Lord and they are on the verge of invasion. Hosea talks about the invasion of the Assyrians coming into Israel. And you know how he describes it in chapter 8, verse 8? He says that Israel was swallowed by the Assyrians. Just like Jonah was swallowed by the whale, so Israel will be swallowed by the Assyrians. But then in chapter 13 of Hosea, the same kind of time range of Jonah, it says in verse 14, the Lord says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. And then in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, it says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces. Listen to this. At rock bottom, you can experience God's grace. Jonah says it's from that pit, from Sheol, that then my Lord came in and he lifted me up out of that pit. He brought me up out of that death. He brought me up out of that hell. He brought me up out of that despair. He brought me up in such a way that the grave did not claim me, that Hades bars did not hold me in. I was delivered. There is a grace at rock bottom that no matter how low you go, there is someone that has gone lower to bring you up. And his name is Jesus. Jonah did go to rock bottom here. Jonah did go into Nineveh, we'll see in the weeks to come. But Jesus is one who has gone farther and deeper down in the pit for you and me to lift us up. Paul will play on Hosea 13 and Isaiah 25 when he writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the resurrection of Jesus. He talks about Jesus going to the pit, dying, and rising from the dead. And then he comes in and he likens, like Jonah, that swallowing, that Sheol, or Hosea, and I will overcome death. And he says this, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This evening at rock bottom, we see the grace of Jesus, who he says, I have gone to that point and lower, and I've died for you. We see this truth that comes to each and every one of you, that at rock bottom there is a grace, because there is one greater to Jonah that went farther down and went deeper, and he died in the pit of death and the grave and Hades, but he shot up alive, victorious, saying, I can deliver any one of you from rock bottom if you would realize the sinful condition that you're in and that you would trust in me, that I have gone where no one can go and come back from, but I have, and I will save you and I will rescue you. Rock bottom, you're left with this hope. Jesus will descend that pit tonight. He will bring you out. He will forgive you. He will give you newness of life if you would trust in him. If you would, like Jonah, from the belly of your Sheol, cry out, God, he'll answer you. And this is his answer. Salvation is the Lord's. And in my Son, I give it to you. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, I thank you so much for this evening and this time in your word. I thank you for the reminders of being at rock bottom and how you faithfully speak and minister to us, how you, Lord, can save us. Save us from those moments where we have gone so deep and so far, we think that we're beyond rescue, that we're beyond salvation, but tonight that we learn that Jesus has gone all the way, even into death, to give us life. And so, Father, I know that we have those moments when we stumble in sin, when we wrong you, and, Lord, we don't live up to your standard, but we resist, we run. But tonight, God, we want to realize what you have done for us, and we want to trust in you, and we want to run to you, and we want to be obedient. But, God, we also want to be rescued at rock bottom. I ask, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anybody in here this evening and you're at rock bottom. And as you're at rock bottom, you realize tonight, okay, I can't get out of this. You realize at rock bottom that there's somebody who's with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And it's God himself who's ready to hear your cry. You understand that tonight at rock bottom, you have lost yourself. You have come to a complete emptiness, understanding your inefficiency or inability to get out of this pit. But Jesus has gone down deeper and died to bring you out of it. And you want salvation. You want forgiveness. You want to be able to leave this evening going, I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry and he answered me and he said, salvation is the Lord's and I give it to you tonight if you trust in me and confess your sin and your wrong. If you're that person in here tonight and you're not right with the Lord, you want to confess your wrong and be saved, trusting that Jesus died for you, would you raise your hand? Anybody in here this evening, you're not right with the Lord and you know, God bless you in the back. Anybody else? God bless you in the front. God bless you in the side. Anybody else in this moment? God bless you in the side. I'm going to challenge and really encourage each and every one of you that raised your hand that you understand tonight I need to be rescued and saved from rock bottom. I'm going to encourage you to cry out to the Lord in faith, confessing your wrong, confessing that you need the Lord and that you trust that Jesus died for you. But after we pray, I'm going to challenge you to go a step further and to get up out of your seat and to come down here to the front and meet with Pastor Daniel. I'm going to encourage you to really put action into your trust and your faith in Christ that he will deliver you from the pit. And that he has, and that he's good, and that you're surrendering to him. And so those of you that raised your hand, would you take a moment and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I've wronged you. I'm at rock bottom because of my resistance, because of my running. But I know you sent Jesus, your son, to die for me. I confess my sin to you right now. Forgive me. I trust in Jesus as the only one who can deliver me. Thank you for your grace that you will deliver me from the pit. I want to turn from my wrong and live for you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for those that raised their hand and I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the strength now to be bold and to step out and to take those steps that they've been delivered, that they've been forgiven, and that they want to live for you and follow you all the days of their life in Jesus' name.